Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Many years ago, the Aguda principle would not join the coalition government in Eretz Yisrael because the government did all kinds of things that were connected to Din. So after Mizrahi would join the coalition government, Aguda would never join. So after many years of not joining, Rav Shach was the head of the Vad Matzik Dor of the Agudas Yisrael at that time. And he finally, after many years, he decided that they're permitted to join the coalition government. So at that time, Rav Moshe Sternbach was a young man. So he said, how can we join the coalition? The Gdolim in the earlier generation said, it's Yehorek Balyaba, that you're not allowed to join the coalition. So Rav Shach had to defend himself from the attack of the young whippersnapper. So he wrote a letter to Rav Shnia Kotler, who was a mishpacha of his. Rav Baron Kotler had passed away already. Rav Shnia Kotler was the head of the Lakewood Yeshiva at that time. And Rav Baron Kotler, Rav Shach, now, after a couple of years after this, then Rav Shach broke off and he made the Degel HaTorah. So he's not part of the Agud at all. But originally, there was no Degel HaTorah. Like, there was no Shas party in the early years. Shas was developed later. Shas was formed later. So Rav Shach wrote a letter, a personal letter to Rav. To Rav Shnia Kotler, explaining his position. He didn't refer to Rabbi Sternbach's attack. He just explained his position. And then it was in his handwriting. He has his handwriting. People know his handwriting. And because he wrote Haskamas on a lot of Svarim, so you have his letters printed on a lot of Svarim. And he asked that they have the letter. They should make copies of the letter that he sent to Rav Kotler, and they should hang it up in all the yeshivas. So the Gluck building didn't exist at that time. It used to be a parking lot at that time. And the Kotler used to learn on the third floor, in the third floor base medrash, across the street. What's it called? First Hall. Named after Mr. and Mrs. First, who gave the money. So the letter of Rav Shach was hanging over there. So the letter said, in Hebrew, we're faced with a dilemma. A dilemma means if you're in a situation where all the choices that you have are no good. Whatever you choose to do is going to be no good. It's not that there's a good route and a bad route. All the routes are no good. So what do you do when you have a dilemma? So Rav Shach writes, we have a tradition from our Rabbeim, Kibalna Merabaseinu, that when you have a dilemma, you have to be Bercha B'miut Hara. You have to pick the least of all of the evils. So under the circumstance, that's what the Mizrahi said from day number one. That's why the Mizrahi did join the coalition government from the beginning. Because finally Rav Shach saw the light and he decided to do like the Mizrahi, that you have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So if you don't join the coalition government, you accomplish nothing. If you do join, so at least sometimes they'll give in to the religious requests. Many times they won't listen, and many times they'll do things k'neged adin. So what can you do? But they're going to do k'neged adin whether you join or you don't join. So that was his defense. He says, you don't always say shev al tasa odef. You don't always say, since joining the coalition government is improper, so you shouldn't join, stay home and don't join. No, by not joining, you lose more than by joining. So he finally said he have to be Bercha B'mil Torah. So where does this idea come from? That when you have a dilemma, Kibalna Merabaseinu, we have a tradition. So this is based on a sugya in Erevin Daf Kuf. Daf Yomi people just finished Erevin on Shabbos. I think they just started Pesachim on Sunday. So Erevin Daf Kuf is pretty close to the end. So in Erevin Daf Kuf, the Gemara discusses a machlokes hatanoim and a Mishnah in Zvachim. Mishnah Zvachim discusses, the Mishnais discuss all the theoretical cases, even though it's never going to come up in a million years. So the Mishnah has a funny case. Sometimes you have a korban that you need four zrikas. A chatas has zrikas on dalek karnas on mizbech. Sometimes you have a korban that has shtaim shehin arba, only has two zrikas. Korban oil kom shlam has two zrikas. Sometimes you have a korban that has one zrika. There's one Tana holds that I think the Talmud Shel Shachar has three zrikas. Nobody possibly like that. Three zrikas, it doesn't exist. Either one zrika, two zrikas, or four zrikas. So the Mishnah has a discussion. What happens if the dam from a matan achas, a pchava maisa pesach, only has one matana? So what if the dam from a korban that has one zrika gets mixed in with the dam from a korban that's supposed to have two zrikas? So in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the matan shtayim, you should do two zrikas. But the Mishnah says that'll be a violation of Bal Tosef on the dam that's only supposed to be matan achas. Bidyevet, if you do the korban, let's say the oil or the shlamim that really needs two zrikas on opposite the diagonally opposite corners of the mizbeach. If bidyevet you'll only do zrang one zrika, it'll be kosher bidyevet. But if you'll do one zrika in order not to violate Bal Tosef, then you'll be in violation of Bal Tigra, because if you have the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah b'shlei musa and you do it shalom b'shlei musa, let's say. The Beis HaLevi has a tshuva about this. He says, if tchelis is available and you have tzitzis and you only put in lovan, you don't put in tchelis, so b'dieved, we paskin, you yotze the mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. So the Beis HaLevi writes a tshuva that that's a violation of Bal Tigra, in violation of Bal Tigra. Let's say if you wear tefillin, you only have three parshias, you don't have the fourth parsha. So the Beis HaLevi quotes a Rashbo from Rosh Hashanah. That's not Bal Tigra. You just didn't do the mitzvah. Or let's say you only have three tzitzis in three corners. You don't have any tzitzis in the fourth corner. So we paskin the dalit tzitzis and ma'akman zezet, some achlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shmuel holds each corner is another mitzvah. So if you have three corners, have tzitzis. The fourth corner, you didn't put tzitzis on. So you'd say the mitzvah, but you'd say three parts of the mitzvah. You're not yotze the whole mitzvah. We paskin, you're not yotze anything. Let's say dalaminim shebululav ma'akim zezeh. So if you're going to shake a lulav with hadasim, without arabis, going to have a lulav and esrig hadasim, but no arabis, so you're not yotze anything at all. So that's what the Rashba said. That's not baltigra. You're mevatel the mitzvah. So if you have tefillin with only three parshias, that's not baltigra. That's not tefillin. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah at all. Bal Tigra means I did the mitzvah b'giron. I did the mitzvah b'giron. So let's say if you had a korban chatos, it's supposed to have lachatrila dalad zrikas on dalad karnas hamizbeach. So if you did three or two or one, and you had the opportunity, it was possible for you to do all the four zrikas, and you chose not to, then you're in violation of Bal Tigra. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. What do you do? You have dam from a korban that needs one zrika only. Gets mixed in the same klisharis into with dam from a different carbon that's supposed to have two zrikas. So whatever you're going to do is no good. If you're not going to be zarek at all, so both carbonus will be puzzle because you didn't do zrikas adam. The dalad avodas adam amayakev shchita kabbalah halacha zrika. The dalad avodas adam. The aktoris emurim is not miyakev. The nisach hayayin is not miyakev. The carbon you yotze the carbon shalob b'shlei musa even without all of that, but you need the zrikas adam. So that's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. So one Tana says it's a dilemma. Dilemma means whatever you're going to do is no good. If you're not going to do any zrikas, so both karbanos are possible. If you do either one or two zrikas, you will be yotze. Both karbanos will be kosher. But if you do one zrika, you'll be in violation of Bal Tigra on the matan shtayim. And if you do two zrikas, you'll be in violation of Bal Tosef on the matan achas. So one Tana says, Shevi al Tasa Orif. What do you mean, Shevi al Tasa Orif? He doesn't mean Shevi al Tasa, don't be Zarek at all. Then they'll both be possible. No, he says, under the circumstances, you have to either violate Bal Tosef or Bal Tigra. So if you did Bal Tosef, if you violated it, Bikum B'Yasei. If you only do one Zvika, then you violate Bal Tigra, but you only violated Bal Tigra, B'Shevi al Tasa. So if under the circumstances, you have to do one Avera or the other, it's better to do the Avera that you're violating B'Shevi Al Tas rather than to the Avera that you're violating B'Kum B'Yaseh. So that's the concept of Shevi Al Tas Odif. If you're trying to figure out which Avera is worse, so we say Shevi Al Tas Odif. You have a dilemma. So the lesser of the two evils is Shevi Al Tas. That's what the Aguda assumed all along. if you join the coalition government, then you're agreeing, you're going along with a lot of things that they did, that the government did, that were against the din. But at least you'll get to win sometime. If you don't join, then you never win your position. So that was the shiloh. So for many years, the Aguda thought Sheva Al Tasa. And then Rav Shach said, no, Kibalna Mirabu Seinu, that Sheva Al Tasa is not always the correct answer. That's a whole sugya in Erev and Daf Kuf. You don't always say Sheva Al Tasa Odev. Sometimes what's the sugya there is discussing a person climbed up on a tree on Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to climb on a tree. So Gemara has a discussion. When Shabbos enters, the guy's sitting, he has a tree house. He's sitting in his house on top of the tree. And then Shabbos comes, Friday evening comes. Now he's on the tree. So should he climb down or should he stay on the tree? So staying on the tree is also an Isser, but you're violating a B'Shev Al Tasa. Just stay where you are. When you're climbing down the tree, you're going to be sitting on the tree for much less time. You're climbing down, you'll be on the tree another minute. You stay on the tree, you stay the whole Shabbos for 24 hours. But staying on the tree will be B'Shev Al Tasa, and climbing down will be B'Kum B'Yaseh. So the Gemara discusses, how do you determine which is the lesser of the two evils? Staying on the tree the whole of Shabbos, or climbing down the tree B'Kum B'Yaseh, so you'll only be on the tree for 2 minutes. So you see, B'Ferish from the Gemara, that Shev Al Tasa is not always the solution to the dilemma, the resolution to the dilemma. It's one of the considerations. And sometimes the miut, to be bocha b'miut hara, is to do the kum b'yaseh. It's not always the shev al tasa. So this is relevant in our Gemara. What does it have to do with us? This is relevant in our Gemara. The Gemara has, there's a concept of a hekesh. A hekesh is if you have two dinim written in the pasuk, one next to the other, we assume that there's a connection. Here it's even more than hekesh, not some. You have two dinim written in the same pasuk. The pasuk says if someone, anayr hamarasa shene'enso, basad im basad mitzot, we assume, tzaka anayr hamarasa be'im ha'shiyalo, so therefore, in anayr chet mavis, we assume that she was nensa. We assume she was nensa. So the pasuk gives a mashal, ki kashiyokam mishar itzochaneh, kiyokam mishar yehu itzochaneh, bishkena dover atzeh, tzaka anayr hamarasa be'im ha'shiyalo. So the pasuk is not something that has two dinim and the pasuk one next to the other. The pasuk gives the mashal and the nimshal. So the Torah says that the two are connected. That this case of yokemish or ehu tzocha nefesh is a mashal to explain a din by the nimshal, by the nara hamarasa shenensa. So it's more than stama hekesh. You have two dinim one next to the other. The Torah says this is like that. It's to be compared. So what do you learn out from the comparison? The pasuk says that ein lanayr chet mavis, that oynes rachmana patre, the din would have been a good din without the mashal. So what do you learn from giving the mashal? So the Gemara says hareze bala lamed v'nimtza lamed. You learn out one din from nara hamarasa back to ratzeach, and one din from ratzeach to Nara Hamarasa, in addition to the fact that it's a mashal with a nimshal, to explain that the girl is the victim of the rape, like the murder victim is a victim of the murderer, in addition to the pshutashim. So what are the two dinim that you learn? So by Nara Hamarasa, it says, tzaka Nara Hamarasa, if it's basode, we say tzaka Nara Hamarasa, ve'imashiyala. So from that phrase, ve'imashiyala, the Gemara in Sanhedrin derives, hayesh la mashiyah, if there would be someone around who would be able to save her from the attack, you can be Mashiach even at the expense of killing the one who's attempting to attack her. So you see that right of Achanara Hamarasa La'onsa is Nitan Latzila Ben Avsha. You're permitted to kill the Raidev in order to save the girl from being Nenesis as an Eshesish, as an Nara Hamarasa. How do you know you're allowed to kill a Raidev Achachadera Lahargoy? So it's learned out from this hekesh. Pasuk makes a comparison between the one who is running to attack the Nara Hamarasa, that she's the victim, and the one who went and he killed Kashiyakam Mishariyahu Tzokha Nevish Kainadabra Azeh. So just like by Nara Hamarasa, the original din of Raidev doesn't say by Ritzech. The original din of Raidev says Tzokha Nam Rasa Be'im Moshiyah Lo. Hayesh La Moshiyah B'chol Dabashat Yochel HaShiyah. So you learn from that phrase, from the three words Ve'em Oshiela, that the Roide Vachanar Hamarasila Onsas Nita Natsila Benavsho. So from the fact that the Torah said the two are to be equated, the two are to be compared to each other, that's how we know the din. We're more familiar with that din, that a roidef is neitan latzila benafsho. You're allowed to kill a roidef if need be in order to save the life of the nirdaf. Well, pasuk goes, e moshiach law, that you're permitted and obligated to kill the roidef achanara hamarasa. And from the fact that the Torah gives a mashal, that's how you know that a roidef achachaber lahargoy is neitan latzila benafsho. That's you learning out from Nara Hamarasa to Raidif, because the original pasuk of Raidif is Ein Moshiach Lo. Then you learn out from Rotzeach to Nara Hamarasa that what? That Yehorek Val Yava. How do you know that Yehorek Val Yava by Rotzeach? That's Svara. The Balabas came, the farmer came to ask Rova, Mary Duroy, the owner of my farm, apparently he rented a farm from a guy, and the owner of the farm was pressuring him he should murder someone. And he threatened him, if you don't murder that person, I'm going to kill you. So he said, the farmer asked Rava, should I be allowed to kill someone else in order to save my life? Pikuach nefesh. So Rava answered, no, my chaz dam nachsum etvei, dim adam dehu gavisum etvei. The Svara dictates over here that Rashi explained that there is no pikuach nefesh. At the end of the day, someone is going to lose their life. So pikuach nefesh doesn't apply. I didn't know your pikuach nefesh is more important than his. Maybe his nefesh is more important than yours. So there is no pikuach nefesh doicha in this situation. So that I know mitzad asvara, and that's what the Mishnah Melech says. That din yehorek val yava by shvichas dam and even applies to bnei noach asvara. Asvara is mechay bnei noach also. But how do you know that there's a din of yehorek val yava by gili arayis? So that's because of the mashal. You learn out from Ratzeach to Nara Hamarasa. And then the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam explains that the Rambam quoted a din from the Tosefta from the Yerushalmi that sometimes we say not only you're not allowed to do Ratzicha to save your life, you're not allowed to do Gram Ratzicha to be Meiser. If the gangsters, the murderers, want to murder a Jew, I'm protecting that Jew. He's in my house, and if I lock the house, they'll never get to kill him. So if I give over the person's life to the murderers and they kill him, so I'm in violation of Gram Ritzicha. So not only are you not allowed to do Ritzicha to save your life, and not allowed to do Gram Ritzicha to save your life, and even in a situation where this Svara doesn't apply, take for example, the murderers surrounded a whole city, and there are 1,000 people in the city. And they say, give us so-and-so, we want to kill Pliny. And if you don't, Pliny is an innocent person, he didn't do anything wrong. Not Chai Misik Shevet Ben Bichri, innocent. But the gangsters want to kill him. So they say, Tenu lanu Pliny, vim lav, narges kulchem. So at the end of the day, Pliny is going to get killed plus another 999 people. So we're not allowed to master. We're not allowed to give over. If you give over a Jew to someone else and they're going to kill him, that's Gram Ritzicha. Gram Ritzicha is learned out. Yechai Misa B'dei Shemaim, Gram Ritzicha. Gram Ritzicha is learned out from the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Noach. What does it say? Shofech Dam Bo'odem Bo'odem Adam Shofech Ki B'tzel Malkim Bo'osah So'odem. What does it say? Miyat Kol Chaya Ed Rishenu. Miyat Kol Chaya means if I set up a situation that the Chaya, I sick a dog on a person, that the dog should eat the person up. The animal should eat the person up. So the animal is the one that's a Sharan Nisqa. Shor Shahar Gesadim is an act of Ritzicha. That's why we give the Shor Skila. And the one who sick the dog on the person is a Gram Ritzicha. So it says, Miat Kalchai Edrishenu. Edrishenu means that it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. So if I hire someone to murder another person, so that's Gram Ritzicha. Or if I get an animal to kill someone, that's Gram Ritzicha. So the Torah says Gram Ritzicha is that Rishena. Rishena means Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Rambam quotes the Dinim from the Mishnah. The Rambam didn't invent it. The Rambam is just quoting the Dinim that even if the Nochrim surrounded the whole city and they say, give us Pliny, we want to kill him. And if you don't give him over, then we're going to kill everybody in the city. So at the end of the day, Pliny is going to lose his life together with another 999 people. If you give him over to the murderers, they'll only kill Pliny. So the Svara dictates, of course, my choses would dictate over here. If you're going with common sense dictates, if Pliny is going to lose his life anyway, so why should another 999 people lose their lives in addition? The Svara doesn't apply over there. So that's what the Ramach in the Hasaga Zanar, Ramach asked that question. But it's not the fault of the Ramah. I'm just quoting the Tosefta with the Yerushalmi at the end of Shviz. That's where, at the end of Trumas. It says Beferish like that. So what's Taka the Pshat? So that's what the Kesem Mishnah answers. And the Chemda Shlomo just elaborates upon it. But the whole answer says in the Kesem Mishnah, this is in the Ramah, the Perikain Hilchus Seriat Torah. So the Kesem Mishnah answers, you have a svara maichazis that indicate that teaches you that sihorig val yava bashvichas damin, and then you learn just like you hargav adav bashvichas damin. The chumash makes a hekesh here. Kashi yakan misha ariyah tzachan nevish kein adav razeh. So from that hekesh we learn out that just like you hargav al yava by ritzichas, so too the din should be hargav al yava bashvichas by gili arayis. Then I learned back from gili arayis to ritzicha. Originally, we only knew that Yorig Vayava by Ritzicha because of this Svara Maichazis. In this case, where you have, they surrounded the whole city and they said to, they threatened, Tulun Olanu Pliny, Vim Lav Narges Kulchem. So here, the Svara doesn't apply. But here, you learn back from Gili Arais to Shvichas Damim, that just like by Gili Arais, the din is Yorig Vayava, so to by Shvichas Damim. Then is a hard val yav, even though the swara of my chosid does not apply. By Gili Arais, the swara doesn't apply. It's a xeris hakasuf. So you learn back from Gili Arais to Shvichas Damim that it's a xeris hakasuf. That the din is the harig val yavar, and even in a case where the swara of my chosid does not apply. Fine. So that's the Gemara that we learned. And then the Gemara says, just like by Shvichas Damim, the din is Yehorig Valyavar, so too by Gili Arayis, the din is Tehoreg Val Ta'avor. That was the old Girsan Nigmar. Tehoreg Val Ta'avor means a Naira Hamarasa. If someone comes to attack her, and if they're going to resist, and if she's going to resist, then they're going to kill her. So it's Pikuach Nefesh, mata her to violate Gili Arayis. She has a choice. She can give up her life or violate Gili Arayis. So the din is tehorig val tavar, just like you say yehorig val yava by shvichas damim. So you say the girl in Arasa should be tehorig val tavar. So the Balatosis thinks that that girsa is not correct. Maybe it is correct in certain cases, but he says basically that girsa is not correct. Why? Because he says you should really say karko olam hi. What does it mean karko olam? So Rabbi Chana Vassaman explains, and the other Balatosis hold that it's wrong. That the Gemara says that you don't apply Yehorig Vayavar in a situation of Karka Olam, that's only if the issue involved is Shara Averis Bifrahesia. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin is bothered with Akasha, how come Esther won the beauty contest and she was chosen to be the queen for Achashverosh? Esther was a Jewish girl and Achashverosh was a Nochri. So there's a prohibition in the Torah of intermarriage. You're not allowed to live with a Nochri. It's not, maybe it's not Gili Arayis, but it's Shara Averis, it is an Avera. And there weren't 10, Befarasi means in the presence of 10 Jews. So there weren't 10 Jews in the bedroom when Ahasuerush was with Esther, but all the Jews knew who Esther was. She was brought up in Beis Yankif, and she was the valedictorian, whatever, and everybody knew who she was, all the people in them. So there's certainly 10 Jews know that she's taken to the royal palace to be the queen. She's going to be sleeping with the goy. So that's considered Shara Averis Bifahesia, to intermarry with the Nochri. It's not Gili Arayis per se, but it should be Shara Averis Bifahesia. Bifahesia is not only if there are 10 Jews present at the time of the Avera. If 10 Jews will know about it, 10 Jews will find out about it, which they certainly will, that should be Bifahesia. So that's the Gemara's caption. We assume that what Esther did was Kedin. The book of Esther is in the Kisvi HaKodesh. So it seems that she followed the Halacha. So how is she allowed to do that? What happened to the din of Yehorig Val Yava B'Shar Averis B'Farhesia? So the Gemara gives two answers. So one answer the Gemara gives is, Esther Karka Olam Hoysa. She just, when she was in the bedroom with the Melech, so she was just passive, and the Nochri was the one who was Bo'oleha. So true, the Isha is always passive, whenever you have a ma'isa bia, the isha is always passive. The Chumash writes, v'nichrisu, the Gemara and Baba Kama points out, the isha is always karka olam when you have tashmish, but the pasuk says, v'nichrisu hanefoshos ha'osos mikerev amom. They're both chayv koris, and it's called hanefoshos ha'osos, the boil, the boal eshesish, with the eshesish, in the case of eshesish, or baal achosa, baal bita, baal lima, whatever the case happens to be, gili arayis. So the Loshana Pasuk is Nichusu Hanafoshos Ha'osos, Rachmana Achshavei Maisa. The Torah considers that even though the role of the Isha by the Tashmish is Shei Baltasa, Torah considers as if she did a Maisa. What's a Nafkamina? Nafkamina is that Dovish has done a Koris and she Gilos Achatas only if they did a Maisa. If you violated an Isa Koris by Shei Baltasa, then you don't bring a Achatas. That's the Mishnah lists off. The opening Mishnah increases, lists off all the Lamed Rav Krisus Hamuras Batora, eating Chametz Bepesa, eating Chele Bedam, being Malacha, doing Malacha on Shabbos, doing Malacha on Yom Kippur. Everything is a Kumi Aseh. There are two Averis that Yechai, the two things that Yechaiv Kares, which you violate B'Shei Ve'Al Tasa. One is if you didn't bring Korban Pesach. Whoever doesn't bring Korban Pesach is chayv koris. So let's say he didn't bring b'shoigig, he didn't realize that it's an aver. He thought it's a nice thing to do, and he didn't bother to bring a korban pesach. Then he finds out he just violated an isa koris b'shoigig. Or let's say the mitzvah to perform a bismillah. So he thought it's a nice thing, all the Jews have a bismillah. He didn't realize that he chayv koris. So then does he have to bring a chatas for the fact that he postponed doing his bismillah? Does he have to bring a chatas because of the fact that he never brought the korban pesach this year? So the Mishnah ends off, no, that chutz min ha-pesach ma-hamila, these two, even though it's donor koritz, it's not shigigos ha-chatas, because it's shei v'altaseh. The only time the Gemara learns that, the Mishnah learns that, from a pasuk, the only time yechayv ha-chatas, if it's a kumbi aseh. But let's say, neshes ish ha-zintzo, b'shoigeg, she didn't know it was asur, or she didn't realize, she thought this was her husband, and it was someone else. So the din is that they both have to bring ha-chatas. Why does she? But she's Shev Al Tasa. So she violated the Isser of Loisinaf, the Shev Al Tasa. So she shouldn't have to bring a Chata. Gemara says, no. Gemara Baba Kama says, the Pasuk says, Menichus Hanafashis Haoises, Rachmana Achshavei Lamaisa. The Torah considers it as if they both did a Maisa. Okay. So she is Chayv Achatas. But basically, she is a Shev Al Tasa. So the Bala Taisus, our Taisus is of the opinion, even though the Gemara's question there in Sanhedrin was, how is we assume that Esther did Kedin, because we included this book of Esther into the Chof Talitz from the Kisvi HaKodesh, we assumed that she didn't do an Issa. So the Gemara raised the question, but if Shara Averis before Esther, should have been Yehar Gval Yavar? The Gemara gives an answer, Shevi Al Tasa. So there are two opinions in Taisus. What if Esther would have been an Eshes Ish? Would you also say that since she's Shevi Al Tasa, that's what Tosis raises the question. Esther was an Eshes Ish, because the Pasuk says that Esther was a relative of Mordechai, of Amosa, of Via Vimah, Lekoch Allah Mordechai Labas. So Gemara says, Atikri Labas Allah Labai, so basis of Ishtoi. The Mordechai was married to Esther. And then when Esther was living with Achashverosh, it was Ba'oines, so she didn't become Asur al Baila. So someday, if Achashverosh will disappear from the scene, she'll be able to go back to her husband, to Mordechai. But then when she said when Mordechai encouraged her that she should go to the Melech and befriend and ask him to come to another party and so on, and then she says, Kasher Avadati Avadati. So at that time, she went Beratzen to Achashverosh. And then she says she'll become Asur al-Baila. So according to that, according to those Gemaras, Esther was an Eshes Ish the whole time that she was living with Achashverosh, and still there was no problem, still because Karka Olam Haisa. So that's one opinion. There's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. One opinion that Tosfos says, our Tosfos is of the opinion. The Tosfos in Ksubas Gimel Amud Beis quotes the Machlokes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivo. So this Bala Tosfos on our daf holds that just like Karka Olam is the reason for the Kula, why there's no Yehar Gval Yavar because of Shar Averis Befahesia intermarriage, and all the Jewish community knew about it, all the people knew who Esther was, she's living with Achashverosh. So even if it would have been Eshes Ish, maybe it was Eshes Ish, According to the Agarot in the Gemara, was Aishasish, would have also been Mutter. The other opinion in Taisa says, no, that this Gemara says Karka Olam is Mutter is only with respect to Shari Surim Mefarhesya. But if it would have been an issue of Gilei Arayis, then Karka Olam would not be at Tzad Lahakam. So what is this opinion? Why is it that Karka Olam is at Tzad Lahakam? So Rabbi Chanan explains very nicely, it's based on that Gemara, Shei Ba'al Tasa Odev. In Kol HaTorah Kula, let's say a person is sick. The only way to save his life is to drive to the hospital. A woman is having a baby. So it's a sakana. She can lose her life. The baby can lose her life. The wife, the woman can lose her life. So you drive your wife to the hospital on Shabbos when she's in labor. So you have a conflict between Hilcha Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. So the Torah tells you whenever there's a conflict, Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. A person has to fast on Yom Kippur. But the person has a medical condition that if he fasts, he may die. So you have a conflict between observance of Yom Kippur, fasting on Yom Kippur, and v'chai b'hem. That's a din. Haneshama lach v'aguf shalach. Our body doesn't belong to us. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the din is v'chai b'hem. We have to see to it that we live. So the din is that pikuach nefesh is derech kol HaTorah Kula. Whenever there's a conflict between pikuach nefesh and Shabbos, or kashrus, or something else, then pikuach nefesh wins. So when you have the gimel averis achamuris, and you don't say pikuach nefesh is deicha, so what does it mean? So Rabbi Chana suggests this is pshat and tesis. Maybe it means like this. Usually, when you have a conflict, so pikuach nefesh beats out pikuach nefesh is deicha kol HaTorah Kula. Pikuach nefesh wins out against fasting on Yom Kippur, against eating kashrus and so on, against not being mechal Shabbos and so on. But if it's a gimelach of eres achamuris, so you're left with the conflict, and then you have a steer. So what do you do if you? So you have a dilemma. What do you do when you have a dilemma? So the din is shev al tasa odif. You have to act in a passive way. So that's what Taisa says. The svara that Rabbi told the farmer, my chosid the damadach sumiktvei damadamnu gavisumiktvei. That means it's a dilemma. Why should you speak about your pikuach nefesh? What about pikuach nefesh of the man whom you're going to kill, the murder victim? So it's a pikuach nefesh contradicted by another pikuach nefesh. So we say, Sheva al tasa odif. So Sheva al tasa dictates, I should not kill the other person. But what say, Tosfos says, what if they threaten, they want to take me and drop me on a baby, and they'll crush the baby to death. It's in such a way that the baby will die. When they're going to drop the gangsters, are going to drop me on a baby, the baby's going to die. But I don't have to do anything, become the asa. I'm totally acting the Sheva al Tasa. So that's what Tosfos says in such a case. The din is, my chos means you don't have any hachra. So you're left with a dilemma. So what do you do when you have a dilemma? Sheva al Tasa orif. So Sheva al Tasa, in the case of the farmer, means don't kill a neighbor. Let the gangster kill you. Let your landlord kill you. The mayor do right. Let him kill you. Over here, if they threaten to kill me unless I allow them to drop me on a baby, so I should allow them to drop me on the baby. I'm not mechuyev to prevent it. I'm acting b'shei b'al tasa. That's what Tosfos says. So he got the Baal HaTosfos, he got it from the Gemara, that the Gemara says, Este karka olam hoisa. And karka olam solves all the problems. Karka olam is not only the reason why Esther is allowed to violate intermarriage, Shara Averis Beferhesia. If the Gemara would have held that she was an Eshes, she would have been Mata that too. Karka Olam is Mata everything. Whenever you have a conflict between Loisinov and V'chai Bohem, so it's so the V'chai Bohem is not Decha Loisinov, but the Loisinov is not Decha V'chai Bohem. So they're left with a conflict, so the Halacha requires Shei Baltas. They always have to act with Shei Baltas. So that's this sheet of Tosfos. The other sheet of the Rishonim is not true. It's not true. Karka Olam means something else. And if Esther would have really been an Eshes Ish, then Karka Olam would not be a Heter. Because the din is a Pikuach Nefesh doesn't apply by the Gimel Averis. It doesn't apply at all. Not that you're left with a dilemma. The Pikuach Nefesh, the V'chai Bohem is not Decha, the Gili Arayz, the Gili Arayz is not Decha. Not Decha, the V'chai Bohem. No. The din is Avachai Bohem doesn't apply at all to the Gimel Averis Achamuris. So that's a fundamental machlokes in Rishonim. Whether that idea of Esther Karka Olam Hoisa, the Gemara strictly speaking, Gemara in Sanhedrin on that daf ayin dalet only says it with respect to answering the question. Wasn't Esther Sharver's befes? Gemara never said it with respect to the din of Yehari Gval Yava by Gili Arayis. So that's 2 days in Tesis, and that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, how we passed it, whether you would say Tehari Gval Tava or not. So some Girsas had Tehari Gval Tava. So Tesis says, yeah, if they're asking her to do something, Bikum Yasei, then you're not allowed to. Then you say, Shei Bal Tasa Arif. You can't do Bikum Yasei. So that's a fundamental machlokes in the Rishonim. What's the din when you have Yehari Gval Yavar by Gili Arayis? Is it that you're faced with a dilemma? A is not decha, B is not decha. So the din, you have to be mocha with miyot Torah, and the miyot Torah in this case is shei v'al tasa odif. Or do you say, no, the aloch is that by gimel averes hachamuris, pikuach nefesh doesn't apply at all. So you even have to lose your life not to violate gili arayis if the violation will be b'shei v'al tasa. Because pikuach nefesh, the consideration of a chaybaim simply doesn't apply at all. It was never formulated with respect to the gimel averes hachamuris. So that's a fundamental machlokes harishonim.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Isn't that opinion in the Sanhedrin of Karka Olam, isn't that only according to Abaye? But Rebbe there disagreed and said it was hanas atzmo, shiny. So why are we assuming like the opinion like Abaye over Rebbe?
It's not necessarily the case that they disagree. It could be that Abaye holds like Rebbe, Rebbe holds like Abaye. It could be that they both hold from each other. Mara machada, mara machada, velo pligi. The Gemara gives two good reasons why they're both correct. When there's a disagreement with the Abaye v'Rava, then in the later generation, they voted always like Rava. That's the way it turned out. They all voted like Rava, except for the Al-Kigam. This is not from the Al-Kigam, but it's not necessarily the case that they're in disagreement with each other. It could be that they both agree. Rava would hold like Abaye, Abaye would hold like Rava. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Is this also the pshat in the Gemara, which says Chayecha Kodmim, if there are two people who have in the desert and one of them has water, and he keeps the water for himself because it's b'sheva tasek killing the other person?
The Gemara has a machloikis hatanoim in the beginning of Perek Ezel Neshech. It's a machloikis Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura. Who was Ben Petura? So there used to be an atheist by the name of Achad Ha'am. He was in the Parsha of Shavua last Shabbos. Kemat Shachav Achad Ha'am is Ishtecha. Okay. This fellow Achad Ha'am was a character. He writes in his autobiography that he was very learned, and he used to help the Rav out in his community to Paskin Shilas at a very young age. But then what turned him off was his father took him one Shabbos to Sadegera. And he was always Mabes Sedra with the Ibn Ezra, with the Rashbam, with the Ramban, with all the Mefarshim and Chumash. So they were making fun of him. What's he looking in all of these Mefarshim and Chumash? So he writes that that's why he gave up the whole religion, because they were making fun of him. So you got to be careful not to make fun of someone who's Mabes Sedra with the Ibn Ezra. He may give up the whole religion. Okay. So he has a whole essay about this, and he thinks that Ben Petura must have been one of the a Christian scholar. He says the Jews never believed in altruism, that they have to give up my life. Ben Petura said, "What's the case? Shnayim shem halchem b'midbar, two people traveling in the desert. U'b'yarechem em kitna shamayim. One of them has a canteen of water." It's enough to keep him alive, but it's not enough to keep both of them alive. So if they'll divide it in half, then they'll both die. And if one person will drink it, so the one who has it, so then he will survive. So Ben Petura says they have to divide it and they have to both die. I have to give up my life that the other fellow should live. So the Saharam says that that's the Christian attitude. Oh, the background of the essay was the suggestion was made there's so much anti-Semitism in the world. It's all because the Jews never accepted the Gospels. If we'll accept the Gospels into the Kisri HaKodesh, let's just decide that the Bible includes the Gospels as well. And shine. And then we'll keep doing the mitzvahs. But if we'll accept the Gospels, then that'll be the end of all the anti-Semitism. Sure. That was a suggestion that some Jews made. So Achad Ha'am delivered a whole paper on the topic. They used to have a whole chevra. They used to deliver essays. They used to recite the essays. So he delivered a paper, and he said, you can't incorporate the Gospels into the Jewish Bible because they're contradictory concepts. So one of the contradictory concepts, in fact, he found was about altruism, that the Christians believe in turning the other cheek and giving up their life for someone else. And we believe in chayecha kodem l'chayecha avecha. First, you have to take care of your own life, and then you worry about other people later on. So he says he thinks Ben Petura was one of the early Christians. Rabbi Akiva gives the Jewish opinion. So that's the chiddush of Achad Ha'am. Rabbi Soloveitchik assumed that Achad Ha'am, I think, is usually assumed that Ben Petura was a holy Tana. He wasn't a Christian thinker. And the din really should have been like Ben Petura. The din should have really been like Ben Petura, that we should divide the water in half, and they should both lose their lives. Why? Because not only is there a din, I'm not in violation of Ritzicha if I drink the water. Not only is there a din, Pikuach Nefesh is not Decha Ritzicha, the din is that I'm not allowed to save my life at the expense of someone else's life. So if I'm going to drink the water that I have, then at the end of the day, I saved my life at the expense of someone else's life. That's not allowed. Even though I'm not doing Shvichas Damim, I'm not doing Ritzicha. That's also included in Din of Yehorek Valyav. So really, the Din should have been like Ben Petura. But we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Why? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, because Chazon Ish has a lot about Chazon Ish also assumes Ben Petura was a holy Tana. He wasn't an early Christian. And the Din should have been like Ben Petura. So why is the Din not like Ben Petura? So Rabbi Soloveitchik, Chazon Ish has a complicated cheshbon, I think. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, he said, if the water would be Mayim Shal Hefker, two people going in the desert, and neither has a canteen of water, and there's a Mayim Shal Hefker, then Rabbi Kiba would agree with Ben Petura that they should divide it in half, and I'm not allowed to save my life at the expense of the other person's life. But because it's Be'ad Echemem Kitu Shamayim, one of them has a canteen of water, the other one doesn't. So my life is not b'sakana if I'm the one who has the canteen. Enachanami, Geneva would be mutter, mitam pikuach nefesh, the other one would be allowed to steal my canteen. But because when we left civilization, when we left the city, I had a canteen of water, my life was never b'sakana at all. So it's not considered saving my life at the expense of the other person. My life is not b'sakana. Your life is b'sakana. I have a canteen of water. I'm not b'sakana at all. But Anachanami, Rabbi Akiva, would have agreed with Ben Petura if it would have been a Mayim Shal Hefker. Others assume it's not true. Rabbi Akiva would say, Chayecha Kodem L'Chayecha Avecha, even if it's a Mayim Shal Hefker. But that's Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, that if there would be Mayim Shal Hefker, Rabbi Akiva would agree that Ben Petura should really be right in this case, because the din includes also, you're not allowed to save your life at the expense of the other one's life. But because one has a canteen, the other one doesn't, so he's not connected with the other. His life was never b'sakon in the first place. So it's not considered saving a life at the expense of the other one's life. Yeah. These dinim come up sometimes. These dinim sometimes do come up, where you have to figure out whose life to save. Yeah, we have a Mishnah at the end of Harius. It's quoted in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch that if two people are drowning and you think you can only save one, you can't save both of them. So whom should you save? So if you have a Kohen, a Levi, a Yisrael, a Mamzer, a Cholel, a Nosin, so if one is a Kohen and one is a Levi, you should save the life of the Kohen. One is a man, one is a woman, you save the life of the man, not the life of the woman. Why? Because the men do more mitzvahs than the women. Well, let's say one is a Talmid Chacham, one is not a Talmid Chacham, so you save the Talmid Chacham. Or let's say the Yerushalmi has on that Mishnah, the Yerushalmi at the end of Harius has another case, two Talmid Chachamim, one is a Palpalon, one gives a whole Pilpal Shir, he gives a lot of Sfaris, and the other one is a Sadran. He tells you the Maskonis, everything is Mesudar, Aloch Alamaisa. So both of them are drowning, you can only save one or the other. Whom do you save? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Yerushalmi, he saved the life of the Sadran because the Jewish community needs him more, because he tells you what the dinim are. The Sadran tells you, Klor and Deitlech, what the dinim are. The Babylon opens up your mind to all kinds of svaris. But the Sadran is more needed. So the Pashtus is that that's the guiding principle of the whole Mishnah. The one is more needed for the community, the one who will accomplish more. So let's say one is a Kohen and one is a Yisro. So Kohanim do more mitzvahs than Yisraelim. So the Kohen is more needed for the Jewish community than Yisrael. Or one is a Talmid Chacham, one is a Balabos. So the Talmid Chacham is more needed for the Jewish community than the Balabatim. So that seems to be the klal in the Mishnah. Men do more mitzvahs than women, usually. So that's why we say that you save the, if the boat's drowning, you can only save the life of one, you save the life of the men. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and others write also like this, Kamaduma, he thinks that for many generations we have not been following this din in the Mishnah. The two people drowning, you save the man and not the woman, you save the Kohen and not the Yisrael. We don't seem to follow that. We're not so convinced that today the men accomplish more mitzvahs than the women. A lot of the women are more learned than the men. A lot of the women do more mitzvahs than the men do. It's not the way it always used to be, that the men are more involved in mitzvahs than the women. And Kohanim, we don't have the Kohanim are not makor karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash. You don't eat truma anymore. We don't allow Kohanim to eat truma today. So the Kohanim are not really doing more mitzvah. They do pidyon haben once in a long while, but the Yisraelim do a lot of mitzvahs also. So we're not so convinced that the klal is the klal. You save the life of the person who is more needed for the Jewish community. If you can only save one person, so the priority is to save the one who is more needed by the community. But we no longer follow that the klolim in the Mishnah. So how do you decide what the klolim are? So maybe one would have said, let's say, one person is already 80 years old, a Talmid Chacham 80 years old. How much longer is he going to live? The other guy's only 20 years old. He's just beginning his life. So one might have thought, if he saved the one 20 years old, he'll have another 60 years till he gets 80. He saved the guy 80 years old. How much longer is he going to have to live? So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Chuvos, he thinks that is also included in the klal. Maybe the one who's 80 years old will only live another 2 years, but he may accomplish more in Torah and mitzvahs and Yiras Hamayim than the one who's 20 years old. Maybe the guy's 20 years old will waste all of his years. He'll live on for another 65 years till the age of 85, then maybe he'll accomplish less. He thinks that that's included in the state. That's a question. So there's a Dr. Abraham in Eretz Yisrael put out Svarim, Nishmas Avraham. So he has, it's on Arba Chalka Shulchan Aruch. On the top of the page, you'll have a sif from Shulchan Aruch, or a Chaimi, or a Dei, Ibn Ezra, Chashmish, have a sif that usually talks about some medical issue. He's a medical doctor. And on the bottom of the page, he'll quote what all of the poskim have to say about this medical shaila. So so he quotes poskim who say that, let's say, the fellow who's 80 years old has so many different medical conditions. He's so old already that it's very questionable how long he's going to survive. The one is 20 years old. If we'll say, let's say we have only one respirator at the beginning of the corona affair, the hospitals didn't have enough respirators. So if you only have one respirator, should you give it to the one 20 years old or 80 years old? So if the difference is the 80 year old has another 10 years to live, 20 year old has another 60 years to live till the age of 90, so then that's not a consideration. That's my chazis. But if the respirator, we're not so sure that the respirator is going to help at all for the 80-year-old. He has all the other medical conditions. It may not help him. It's a suffix. And for the 20-year-old, it looks like probably will help, probably will extend his life. So then we say, since one is a suffix, one is a vadai, so you choose to give the respirator to the one who's a vadai, to the one with the who doesn't have all these medical problems. Yeah. Or let's say, the respirator will help. For both of them, the respirator will help. But for one of them, we think he's not going to last more than 12 months. That's what we call chayisho. The other one will probably if you give him the respirator, he'll live more than 12 months. So that's called Chayei Olam. Nobody lives forever. Hashem Yimloch Li'ol Nevoi. The Ribbono Shel'Olam lives forever. But human beings, nobody lives forever. But there's a difference between Chayei Sho and Chayei Olam. Chayei Sho means the doctors think you're going to live less than 12 months. Chayei Olam means the doctors think you're going to live more than 12 months. So then the Chayei Olam takes precedence over the Chayei Sho. When you have one pitted against the other, the din is that, let's say, a Chayla on Shabbos, you machal Shabbos to save the life of the chayla. What if the chayla is going to die anyway in the coming weeks? The chayla is a chayla mesukan, is going to die anyway. But why should he die on Shabbos? Are you allowed to be machal Shabbos to extend his life for Chayei Sho? He's not going to live more than 12 months. So the din is yes. Pikuach nefesh is decha kala tarkula, even if it's only for Chayei Sho. But if you only have one respirator, and you can either give it to the one who will have after giving him the respirator, will he have a Chayei Olam or only have a Chayei Sho? So if it's a toss-up, they don't say my chazis. No, one is Chayei Olam, one is the Chayei Sho. The Chayei Olam is other from Chayei Sho. Or if one is a suffix, whether the respirator will help at all. And one is a vadai, probably will help. It looks like he doesn't have medical problems. So then you say, ain't suffix, but it's a vadai. But the Mishnah, the way it says in the Mishnah, and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, that's what Rabbi Moshe and others say. They have the impression that for many generations we have not been following that Mishnah, because the Mishnah seems to be telling us who is more needed for the Jewish community. We assume that men always do more mitzvahs than women. It's that today. It's not necessarily the case. There are women who are marbits Torah barabim to men and to women, and they're always davening, and they're always learning Torah and teaching Torah. And it could be the man is not. Could be that the man is accomplishing less for the Jewish community. Yeah, so these dinim are relevant. Okay. The next Gemara we learned already, that what happened. Mabar Bashi Ashkechel Rabina, he was smearing his daughter with olive oil from Orla fruits from a tree that was within the first 3 years. And guharki, Rashi explains, means the olives never had chanota. Chanota, Tosis writes in Rosh Hashanah, first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, chanota is approximately parallel to havoah shlish by tvuah. And then the normal, Rashi says, the normal thing is that you wait till you have havoah shlish on the olives and then you pluck them off from the tree. Once you pluck it off, it's not going to continue to grow. So the normal minig olam is that after chanata, then it makes sense to pluck it off. So here, they had plucked off the olives before havoah shlish, before chanata, we say, and then he had olive oil, so he was smearing his daughter. So my brabashi, yes, but it's orla. Orla is osamano. So the first answer he gives is, hey, madam, abam shasakana. They say, amalei, Ravina answers, hayishasat smirta, a high fever is also shasasakana damya. If you have a doctor, the doctor will tell you whether the fever is an indication that there's a sakana or not. If you don't have a doctor, only laymen around. So whenever there's a high fever, you have to be concerned. Maybe it's a suffix sakana. Suffix sakana is decha kola tarkula. Svek svek of a sakana is decha kola tarkula. So the first answer is a high fever. It could be not always, but if you have no doctor to tell you otherwise, so then it's a suffix or a svek sveka of a suffix sakana. And Ikud the Amri, another version has it, by the time the Talmud Bavli was written down, a few generations after the days of Ravina Ravashi, this is Ravina, so that by the time they wrote it down, there are already different versions of what Ravina said. If Ravina is writing it down, he would tell us what he said. Obviously, the Talmud Bavli was not written by Ravina Ravashi. Most of the history books and most of the Acharonim assume that the Mishnayos were edited by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but were not written down by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It was only written down by Ravina Ravashi. And the Talmud Bavli was edited by Ravina Ravashi. That's the Gemara in Bav Mitzi and Daf Pehei. Ravina Ravashi Soif HaRoah. That was the end of the development of the Talmud Bavli. But it wasn't written down. We know this historically, this is a fact. It wasn't written down. When were the Mishnayos written down? That's a debate. So most of the historians, most of the Achronim assume it was not written down by Rabbi Ranossi, it was written down by Rabbi Ravash. When was the Talmud Bavli written down? That's a fact. It was not written down by Rabbi Ravash. That they have the correspondence from the days of the Gaonim when they had the big machlokes. Should they write down the Talmud Bavli? It's a good thing they wrote it down. Here there are two. There are always different versions of what Rabbi Ravashi said. because it wasn't written down until generations later. So the second version was, the Ravina responded, since you look at Derech HaNosim, so it's mutter for Chol Hashem B'Sakhan. It doesn't have to be Chol Hashem B'Sakhan, it means Chol Kol Guf HaMutter L'Mishkan. Fine. The next Gemara is a very interesting sugya. It's going to go on for a while. There is a machlokes hatanoim, Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon, and Kol HaTorah Kula and Hilchos Shabbos as well. But the Dovshein and Miskavein is also Ramuta. What's an example of Dovshein and Miskavein? A person knows that some refrigerators are set up in such a way that when you open the door, the light goes on. And other refrigerators, in all the refrigerators, the light goes on. But if it's in an Orthodox Jewish home, so some of the people unscrew the bulb and they leave it off the whole week. They don't want the bulb on Shabbos, so they leave it off the whole week long. So I'm staying in someone's home on Shabbos, and I don't know, and they're not here. I don't know whether they unscrewed the bulb or not. So by opening the door, you're allowed to open a door on Shabbos. There's no malach in opening a door, but there is a malach in turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos. So I'm doing a pula hamuteris, and there's a suffix whether this will cause a pulu hasura to take place or not. So that's called dabashen miskavin. So it's a machlok satanoi. So Rabbi Yehuda holds dabashen miskavin is asar, and Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, dabashen miskavin is mutter. Yeah. What would you have said? What should we have said by dabashen miskavin? So the Pashta says you should have said, if it's an isa deraisa, dabashen miskavin sveka deraisa lechumra. If it's only a malacha derabanan, the Marsham is of the opinion that turning on electric bulbs on Shabbos can only be an Issa Derabbanan, because it didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan. All the malachas are based on what was done in the Mishkan. So, Ach the Havi B'Mishkan Chashiva, the Gemara says on the first half in Baba Kama, that Besam and Aleph, any activity that was a major activity in construction of Avnan, construction of the Mishkan, is considered an Av Malach. And that's how they figured out which are the 39 Avos Malachas. And whatever was not such an important activity, but is similar to the activities that were involved in Asiyas HaMishkan, that's called the Tolda. So the Marsham was of the opinion, Marsham was a major Galatiana Poisik 100 years ago, he died around 100 years ago. There's a rabbi, Shalom Mordechai Shvadron. There was a rabbi Shvadron on Yerushalayim. He was a noted darshan. He was a descendant from the Maharsham. That was an ancestor of his. So the Maharsham is of the opinion that since electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so it can't even be a told in a Torah. It's a told if it existed, if this activity existed in the days of the Mishkan, but it wasn't involved in Asiyas HaMishkan, but it's represented with what was in the Mishkan, then it's a tolda. Then it'll be an av malach if it was in the Mishkan, or it's sufficiently similar to the av that it's an av, or if it's not that similar, it's not so similar, then it'll be a tolda. But if the whole electric bulb didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, the maximum it could be is only the Rabban. That was the opinion of the Marsha. And Rabbi Chaim Moser disagreed, and he felt that it's wrong. The Torah Shebaal Peh is what makes Shabbos fit in our society. Nothing is the same. No activity is the same as it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So all the new activity, the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to do melacha. Whatever is sufficiently similar to the Ovis and the Mishkan, our melacha is there, Isa. Just because such a thing didn't exist in the days of Mishkan, so what? So what should it be? What should you say about Dovashen and Miskavin? Am I allowed to open the refrigerator? I don't know whether they unscrewed half the Jewish homes. More than half the Jewish homes don't have the bulbs on. And some of them do have the bulbs on all week long. And the Balabas gave me permission to stay in his apartment, but he didn't tell me whether the light is on in the refrigerator or not. So the Pashtus, he should have said that if the concern is that there's a possibility of doing a Malocha Deraisa, Sveka Deraisa L'chumra. If the whole concern is that you may violate an Issa Derabbanan, Malacha Derabbanan, Sveka Derabbanan L'kul. So an electric bulb, so if you hold like the Marsham, that turning on an electric bulb is Derabbanan, so it should be Dabashenim Miskavin, should be Mutter. I'm doing a pula hamuteris, opening a refrigerator door, which may not result in a pula hasura. May not result means safik derabbanan. So if it's a safik deraisa luchum, safik derabbanan lukula. The problem is that the only one who says that is Rashi in Yuma. Rashi learns like that in Yuma, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Dabashani Miskaben also is only on deraisa, is on derabbanan, it's mutter. And Tosfos says, Tosfos shows from the Gemara that Rashi is wrong. We assume like Tosfos. Because what is the example of the Gemara by Dovah She'ina Miskavin? So Gemara gives an example. Goyra the meet the kisa v'safsal. I have a piece of furniture on the ground. And the ground is, it's not concrete. It's not a wooden floor. It's a dirt floor. So I'm not sure how soft the earth is. I'm not sure how heavy the piece of furniture is. So by schlepping, if I pick up the piece of furniture and I move it to from one room to the other, there's no problem. But if I'm going to be gurra the meat, the kisa v'sapsal on the ground, it may or may not make a charitz. And if you make a charitz, so if it's babayis, then it's a malach of bona. If it's basada, then it's a malach of chorish. Chorish means hachon al izriya. So if you make a charitz, basada, if you plan to plant something in the charitz and you did a malacha of choresh, then it's a malacha tzvicha legufa. If you made a charitz basada, you don't plan to plant anything in that charitz. That's another machlek zabir Reb Shimon. You did a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. I did a malacha, but I'm not intending for the result. I'm not intending to use to gain any benefit out of it. So if you make, but the, so that's another question. But if a person will make a charitz babayis, that may lead up to binyan. So osa charitz babayis is a malacha bone, and osa charitz basada is a malacha of chorish. So Rashi and Yuma around daf lamed vav lamed hey lamed beis. There's a gigantic tesis that goes from lamed beis to the next lamed aleph. A very long tesis. This tesis has certain chidushim in Hilchos Shabbos that don't appear anywhere else in Shas and any other tesis. So that's an important marmokah. We're not learning Shabbos this year, but that's an important Tosfos to keep in mind. So Tosfos shows that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds Dov Sheni Miskaben Aser. It's only Dov Sheni Miskaben on a deraisa because Sveika deraisa luchumer. The Dov Sheni Miskaben on a derabbanan is the Sveika derabbanan lekul. So Tosfos shows that it's not so because the Gemara gives the original case of Machloek is Rabbi Reb Shimon, and Dabashen and Miskavin. Reb Shimon holds, we pulled La Lochet's Mutter, Gura the meat, the case of the Safsal. It is permissible to, you don't have to pick up the chair if you want to move it. You're permitted to leave it on the ground and to schlep it, even though there is a possibility, 50-50 chance that it may make a charitz. Even if it makes a charitz, it's a Dabashen and Miskavin, and Dabashen and Miskavin is a Machloek is Hatanon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dabashen Miskaben is Aser, it's Aser. According to Rabbi Shimon, Dabashen Miskaben is Mutter, is Mutter. So if you will make a Haritz, will that be a Malacha Deraisa? So Tosfos says no. Tosfos says no, because the Gemara said Beferish, that's Kalach Hayad. The normal way to make a Haritz is not by moving tables. You take a shovel and you dig a Haritz. You don't move a heavy piece of furniture to make a Haritz. So they quote a Gemara like that. If you go Kisei V'Sapso, Agabi karka, and you make a charitz, that's bone kalach hayad. So the worst it could be, the worst the malacha is going to be a malacha derabbanan. It's kalach hayad. And we learn that from the pasuk, malachas machshevis. Malachas machshevis really doesn't say by Shabbat. It says by asiyas hamishkan. The osei malacha, all the people who prepared everything for the mishkan, they did everything malachas machshevis. But because the Torah tells us that it's important to build the Mishkan, but more important to observe Shabbos, and not let it be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of Asiyas HaMishkan. The Gemara establishes that klal from the first daf in Bava Kama, all the important activities which were necessary for Asiyas HaMishkan are considered Ovis Malochas. That's how we establish which are the 39 Ovis Malochas, whatever was necessary in the Mishkan. So because the Mishkan, the Malachas from the Mishkan are described by the Chumash as Malachas Machsheves, so that's why we carry over that condition, that Tanai, Malachas Machsheves is necessary to be called the Malach. If you do a Malach on Shabbos Kalach Hayad, it's lacking Malachas Machsheves, so the worst it can be is going to be the Rabbana. The Gemara said that the original Machlegs are Beauty Reb Shimon, by Dov Sheni Miskaben is by Oysa Charitz, go around to meet the kids of the Safsal. So the original machlekes is by a malacha derabbanan, and still Reb Yehuda holds that it's asa. It's not awesome in a Torah, though. Malach is only with the Rabbanan. But Dov Shem is Kavan on a Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yudah holds Dasa. And Rabbi Shimon holds Dov Shem is Kavan is Mutar, even on a Deraisa. Rabbi Yudah holds Dov Shem is Kavan is Dasa, even on a Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon holds Dov Shem is Kavan is Mutar, even on a Deraisa. So why doesn't anybody say like Rashi? Rashi, common sense should have been like that. Dov Shem is Kavan should be. Sveka Deraisa Luchum, Sveka Rabbanan Lakun. So apparently, Rabbi Shimon has something else up his sleeve. Rabbi Shimon holds that the Dova She'enim is Kavein is Mutter even on a Deraisa, and it's not considered Safik Deraisa Luchomer. Safik Deraisa Luchomer means I know what I'm doing. I'm doing a Pula Mesuyemes, and there's a Safik whether that's a Malach. Here I'm doing a Pula Hamuteris. I'm opening the door to the refrigerator. Now, a lot of times when you open the refrigerator door, that's already a Malach, even if there's no light going on. Because a lot of the modern refrigerators that were built in the last 10 years, I think, they don't want the freezer to develop too much ice, too much frost. And then every month you have to defrost the refrigerator. It's a big tircha. So every single time you open up the refrigerator, so something happens to prevent defrosting. So you're doing a malach every single time, whenever you open the refrigerator. So that's, you can't buy a modern refrigerator unless it has a Shabbos mode. And some of the Shabbos modes are not agreed upon. Rabbi Heinemann is an original thinker. Rabbi Heinemann from Baltimore, he has his own opinions about a lot of things in Kashrus and about Shabbos and about the, he's a very learned person, but he has a lot of original opinions that other people don't agree with him. So he has certain coolers regarding his, he got some of the refrigerator companies to make a Shabbos mode that according to his opinion, don't violate any malachas. Many others disagree. They're not happy with his Shabbos mode refrigerators. So, but let's say the old style refrigerator. When you open the refrigerator, no malacha is happening. The only question is whether the light's going to go on or not. So when do you say Safik Deraisa L'chumra? If I'm doing a pu'ula and I'm not sure whether that pu'ula is a malacha, if that's an iser or not, so that's Safik Deraisa L'chumra. But if I'm doing pu'ula hamuteris, and then it may or may not result in a pu'ula hasur. It may cause a light to go on, may not cause a light to go on. Depends whether the bulb was screwed in or not. Maybe the bulb was unscrewed. Many people do unscrew the bulb. So that's Dov Shenim is Kavan. So why isn't it Safik Deraisa L'chumer? Why does Reb Shimon hold Dov Shenim? We pass like Reb Shimon. Why is Dov Shenim is Kavan? Why do we pass on Dov Shenim is Kavan as Mutter? Why don't we say Sveika Deraisa L'chumer? Why is it Mutter? Reb Yankev Femdin has a commentary on Mishnayis. So they quote, I don't have it at home, but in the big Mishnayis, it has it, the Teferis Yisod, the Yochanan Boaz Mishnayis. So on the side of the page, they quote on a Mishnah, the end of Beitza, Reb Yankev Femdin takes a stand against all the Rishonim regarding this machlokes of Rabbi Reb Shimon by Dov Shenim is Kavan. So all the Rishonim say, we pass on like Reb Shimon, Dov Shenim is Kavan is Mutter, even on Shabbos. So he splits the psak. He thinks we should pass on Dov Shenim is Kavan is only Mutter on Yontif, and on Shabbos it should be awesome. Because Shabbos is an Issa Koris, and Yontif is an Issa Lav, and there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Pei Dalid, where the Gemara suggests, at one point the Gemara suggests such a difference, that maybe Reb Shimon will split, maybe Reb Shimon will distinguish between an Issa Koris and an Issa Lav. So Rabbi Yankev Hamda thinks that we should pass like that. But that's wild. That is wild. None of the Rishonim say it like that. It's against, he has things against all the Rishonim. We don't accept that yet. So the Shaila is, why does Reb Shimon hold Dov Shem is Kavan is Mutter? So Rav Soloveitchik used to give the following explanation. To start from the beginning, it goes like this. Chomet sha'ova olava pesach is a machlekes Reb Yudah Reb Shimon, whether it's deraisa derabbanan. Rabbi Yudah and Chav Chesam Ebeis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yudah holds Kolosik Kroi Ksivi. There are three psukim where it says the same thing. You're not allowed to eat chametz. So one pasuk goes, you're not allowed to eat chametz b'Pesach. One pasuk goes, chametz she'ova olava Pesach. Pesach comes, all the chametz in the world becomes aser. It's owned by a Jew, owned by a non-Jew. It all becomes aser and it remains aser. The unavoid. Chametz she'ova olava Pesach beheter. The goy didn't sell. The goy doesn't have to sell his chametz. The goy doesn't violate by rabbi by matzah. Any chametz that's in existence on Pesach becomes also banoah, even though nobody violated anything. That's Rabbi Yudah's opinion. And chametz on erev Pesach after chatzos, not only is there an isa esse of tashbisu, there's an isa lav. So Rabbi Yehuda would be of the opinion that if you eat chametz on Pesach, he get malchus. Kores for violating eating chametz is only if you eat chametz on Pesach, on the 7 days of Pesach. But if you eat chametz of all of Pesach, he eat chametz on Erev Pesach, after chametz, it'll be alav, but there won't be any kores. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass chametz of all of Pesach is like Reb Shimon, that chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, there is no lav, there's only an Isser Esseh. So if you eat chametz on Pesach, he won't get malchus. Chametz on Pesach, there's a lot. But chametz over all about Pesach is mutam in Torah. It's only awesome in the Rabbanon as a penalty for the one who violated Bal Yirah by Imatze. So it's only chametz shal Yisrael over all about Pesach. Chametz shal Nachri over all about Pesach is mutam achila after Pesach. So now it says in Shulchan Aruch, what if it's chametz over all of HaPesach? The person didn't even realize he was by the chametz before Pesach. He checked all over, and he didn't realize that he had chametz in the house. After Pesach is over, then he discovers that he had some chametz in his house, but he wasn't aware of it. If he would have known that he has chametz, he would have sold it, would have burnt it. He wasn't aware. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, even if he violated Bal Yirah by Matzah B'Shogeg, because he didn't even know of the existence of the chametz, the din still is that a chametz shavah la Pesach. So the Nesibis wrote a sefer on Hilchas Pesach. That's called Mekor Chaim. So in the Mekor Chaim, the Nesibis is bothered with Akasha. Why does the penalty of chametz shavah la Pesach apply? The chametz that the owner, the Jewish owner of the chametz, wasn't even aware of the existence of the chametz. It was hidden away somewhere in a closet. It didn't occur to him at all when he was by the chametz. He didn't think that he's going to find chametz over there. Mokum shem achnisim by chametz, and then he discovers that there's chametz over there. By and a mokum shem achnisim by chametz, he didn't even violate anything. He didn't do anything wrong. So why do you say that it's chametz shavah l'va Pesach? Why don't you say that it's misasek? And there's a mishnah in Krisis that if a person is mechal shabbos b'shogeg is chayiv chatos, but if a person mechal shabbos b'misasek, let's say the person opened up the refrigerator door and didn't occur to him. He never heard of that. Refrigerators have lights in them. You open the door, the light goes on. It didn't occur to him. He opens the door to a bathroom. All of a sudden, the light goes on. The public bathroom was like that on an airplane. When you open the door to the bathroom, the light goes on. So it didn't occur to him. So if a person is Mechal Shabbos ben Misasek, he didn't even realize the light's going to go on. It's not Chayev Chatos, because Misasek is not called a Maisa Veire. So why don't you say over here, the fellow violated Bal Yirah by Matzah, but it was totally been Misasek. He didn't even realize that he had any chametz in his possession. So therefore, if a person does an Aver B'Shogeg, Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, you need a kapari, you need to bring a chatas, but Mechal Shabbos ben Misasek doesn't have to bring a chatas. Why not? So must be the Nesivus assumes in the Mekor Chaim, because Misasek is not considered a Maisa Aveira at all. So it's not considered a Maisa Aveira, so he didn't violate Bal Yirah by Matzah. I understand if he violated Bal Yirah by Matzah B'Shogeg, he didn't know that there was an Aveira. He knew that the Jews usually get rid of the Chametz, didn't realize it's an Aveira. He thought it's a mitzvah to burn the Chametz, he didn't realize it's an Aveira. So one who violates Bal Yirah B'Shogeg, so also Chametz Shalat Pesach, the penalty applies. But if he violated Bal Yirah by Matzah B'Misasek, he didn't even know that there was any chametz. It's a mok m'shem achnisa by chametz. So why not say it's not considered an aveira at all? So the Nesivus answers, Pamed var mamurim, when do you say an aveira b'misasek is not considered an aveira at all, and you don't even need a kapara of a chatas, even mechal Shabbos? That's only if the nature of the aveira is such that the aveira is done b'kum b'yaseh. Let's say you do a malocha on Shabbos. Do a malocha b'misasek, it doesn't count. It is not considered an aver. But if the nature of the aver is b'shei d'altase, because you own chametz in your possession, you're the owner of chametz, so you violate Bal Yirah by Matzah, you have to go, if you would only violate Bal Yirah by Matzah, if you go buy the chametz in the store, or you mix flour with water and you made the chametz, the Rambam says, if you buy chametz in the store on Pesach, or you mix flour with water and you let it rise, then you get malchus. Then it's a lab sheyesh b'maisa. Usually, Bal Yirah by Matzah is a lab sheyesh b'maisa. You violate Bal Yirah by having the chametz in your possession, but you're totally b'shei d'altasa, so you ain't a loike. But if you buy the chametz, hamach mitzisa b'chametz, hakana chametz b'pesach, he violated bal yura by matzah b'kum le'aseh. Then he made it into a lav she'esh b'mais. So that we understand. So here the nesiva says, since bal yura by matzah is violated totally b'sheiv al tasa, just because you have chametz in your possession, you don't have to have any kum le'aseh. So when do you say that an aver b'misasik is not considered an avera? If the nature of the avera is such that you have to do a kumbi asay. But if the avera is violated, b'shev al tasa, so it's the same, whether it's been misasek or not been misasek. That's what the Nesiva answers. So Rabbi Kiveger lived in a different country. Rabbi Kiveger lived in Prussia, and he lived in Lisa, I think it's in Lithuania. So they lived in different cities, far away from each other, but they used to correspond. Rabbi Kiveger used to correspond with the Chemda Shlomo also. Chemda Shlomo lived in Warsaw. He used to correspond with the base mayor. Also lived in a different city. They were big them. Used to correspond with each other. Rabbi Kiveger corresponded with the community. The Nesivis's wife was a witch. So Rabbi Kiveger sent her a letter that she should please behave, or he's going to encourage her husband to divorce her. And she made life so miserable, so he got divorced from his wife. And the Balabatim was so upset, how can a rabbi divorce his wife? There's one rabbi in the New York area who's ready, he's on his sixth wife. He divorced the first, the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth. That's what they say, they want to sing on the Eschupi Komikadashvi at the next wedding. Because he just got married to the sixth wife, I think a year ago. So the old joke, they say they're wedding the next wedding, they'll sing Komikadashvi when he gets married to the seventh wife. So this was Rabbi Kiveger lived in the early 1800s. So that was such an embarrassment. So the community fired the Nesivas. How can he divorce his wife? So Rabbi Kiveger sent a letter to the community. They found the letter. Then Rabbi Kiveger sent a letter. How can you fire the Nesivas? He's the God Lador. And they said, we don't care. He divorced his wife. We can't maintain him as a rabbi. He went into business. He went into business later on. Very interesting. At the end of his life, when he died, he was no longer the rabbi and Lisa. So he left instructions in his tzavot to have in the Haggadah of the Nesivis, they have his tzavot printed. So he has in his tzavot, when I die, please notify the community of Lisa of the yahrzeit, because they have a beautiful minig on the day of the yahrzeit of all of the rabbis who were there for all the years before his time. They always would learn Mishnayos, and they would say Kaddish, Lezech and Nishmasa. So please notify the community when I die, because he's not there. He's no longer there in Lisa. He's traveling around the world dealing in business. Interesting. So Rabbi Kiveger corresponded with the Nesivas. So he says he has a sefer. He doesn't understand the svara over here. If you say an avera, if you have avera that's done b'kum v'yaseh, let's say chilul Shabbos. If you do the chilul Shabbos ben misasek, it doesn't count. It's not considered an avera. So it should be a kal v'chomer. If the nature of the avera is that it's violated b'sheiv al tasa, just by possessing, having the chametz in your ownership, in your possession. So there's more reason to say that if it's done ben misasek, it shouldn't count as an avera at all. Shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer? Well, he argues with the Nesivas. Why do you say that since the Aver is violated b'shev al tasa, so there's no dina misasek, should be a kavachamah, there should be a dina misasek. So Rabbi Kiveger says the kasha is based on a mistake. That misasek is not that it's not called an Aver at all. Misasek, it's a gzeres hakasav that you potter from chatas. And he thinks it only potters from chatas kvua. It doesn't potter from chatas or the biyorid. Because Rabbi Kiveger has a kasha and a certain gemara in Shavuos that a fellow is Tomei, and he enters into a house, and he thought this is a gigantic museum. It turns out that he just entered the Beis Hamikdash in the state of Tuma. So one who enters the Beis Hamikdash in the state of Tuma, B'Shegeg, is Chayv Achatas Olaviyari. Olaviyari means if he can afford it, it brings Achatas Behem. He can't afford it, it brings Achatas Haif. And he can't afford it, then he brings a Minchas Choyte, it brings a Mincha. So, and the Gemara gives the example of the person who entered the Beis HaMikdash Petumah. He didn't realize that this was a Beis HaMikdash. He thought that it's a public library, a gigantic building. He didn't realize Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Kiveger asked, why shouldn't that be Misasik? So he said, the answer obviously is that the Pasuk that says Misasik is Pata from Chatos only talks about Chatos Kvua. When you talk about Chatos Olaviyar, there is no Ptur of Misasik. But when a person does an avera b'misasig, it is an avera. It's just like b'shoigig is an avera, and avera b'misasig is also an avera. So therefore, there is room to make a penalty. It's not that misasig is not called a ma'aseh avera at all. The Nesivus was working with the assumption in his sefer Mekor Chaim on Hilchos Pesach. He's working with the assumption that if a person does an avera b'misasig, it's not chayv chatos because it's not called a ma'aseh avera at all. So Rabbi Kevega disagrees with the whole premise. Says not true. It is ma'aseh avera, but it's a different kind of shoigig. So you put them from chatos kvua. But if you talk about chatos od biyori, about tumas migdash v'kadoshav, he thinks that you are chayv chatos od biyori, even though he did the avera b'misasig. So he said that's the answer to the kasha. If you violate by yiro by matze b'misasig, it is an avera, and there's room for penalty there also. Kontzu shogot amazed. Gemara has a whole sugya in the middle of Gittin, Perakan Zokin. There are a whole bunch of cases where there's a penalty made the Rabbanon. So sometimes we say they only penalize them b'mezid, hametame v'hamedame v'hamenasech. If you're mazik, someone else a hezik shein and nikar, so menatori you're not chayv, only chayv made the Rabbanon. So the Mishnah says, you're only chayv if you did it b'mezid, b'shoigi gipota, hametame v'hamedame v'hamenasech, because hezik shein and nikar, so no concert show got the mezid. Gemara has a whole sugya. When do you say yes, kontra show got the mezid? And when is lo kontra show got the mezid? So here, the Shulchan Aruch assumes like those who shine him. Not everybody agrees. Shulchan Aruch assumes the Meiri quotes those who disagree. That one who violates Bal Yirah by Matze becomes Chamed Shavah La Pesach. There's a penalty. That the penalty was kontra show got the mezid. Even if you only violated Bal Yirah B'Shoigeg, also the penalty is there that the Chamed becomes Asabana. So if a person violates by Rabbi Matzah bin Misasek, Misasek is also Shoigig. It's not Misasek, it's not called a Maisa Avera at all. Misasek is an Avera, and if you're talking about Chatos Ola B'Yorid, you will be Chayev. But a Chatos Kvua, that's Exeris HaKosef. Hod Olav Chatos HaShechata Bo Pratna Misasek, that's a Mishnah increases, that Misasek is Pata from a Chatos. That's Rabbi Kevega. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't agree with Rabbi Kevega. He thought that the Nesivus was more correct, that the Avera done by Misasek doesn't count at all. It's not considered a Maisa Avera at all. And Rabbi Kevega's Kasha, the fellow walked into a building in a state of Tum, and he thought the building was a public library. It turns out that it's a Beis HaMikdash. How is it Chai V'chatos? Why isn't it Misasek? So you have to give an answer. The Stipler talks, many Gedolim talk about it. They explain why maybe it's not Misasek. You have to explain why it's not Misasek. But Misasek is not called a Maisa Avera at all. But that's what the Nesiva says. When do you say Misasek? If I do a Pa'ula Ho Asura, be Misasek, I didn't realize what I'm doing. I didn't realize that by opening the door, the light's going to go on. If I didn't realize... And Chilul Shabbos is on the Bikul Miyasei, so the Maisa Chilul Shabbos doesn't relate to me. It's if it happened by itself. But if the Avera of Bal Yirah by Matzah is violated because you have chametz in your possession, you don't have to do any Kul Miyasei. You just own the chametz. By owning the chametz, B'Shei V'Altasi, you violate Bal Yirah by Matzah. So even if you weren't even aware of the fact that there was chametz, it was a Malkam Shem Machnisim by chametz. But bottom line, the chametz was in your ownership. You can't say that ma'aseh avera doesn't relate to me. There is no ma'aseh avera. The ownership is there. So if the avera, the nature of the avera is such that it's violated b'shei b'al tase, you can't say that misasik is a p'tur. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Nesivus made good sense. He thought we should accept the Nesivus. And based on the Nesivus, you cannot understand why the din is like Reb Shimon, why Reb Shimon holds adob shen miskab in his mutter. Why? If the person is intending on doing one pool, he's doing pula hamuteris, and he knows in advance that there may or may not be a pula hasura coming as a result of it. Say if it's a vadois, it's a psikresha, that by doing pula A, pula B comes, even if you're not interested in pula B, that's called psikresha. So that's called a dobe hamaskavin. But if he's only interested in doing pula A, which is muta, pula hamuteris, and he knows in advance that it may not result in Pula B. He's not interested in doing Pula B. So just like Misasik, if he wouldn't even be aware that anything is happening, he didn't even realize what he's doing, that Avera doesn't relate to him. So here, even if he is aware, but he's doing Pula A, which may or may not result in Pula B. So Shimon is of the opinion that every Dovashenim Miskavein is labeled as a Misasik. A Misasik is Hetagom. A Misasik is not called a Maisa Avera at all. If you're all like Rabbi Kevega, a Misasek is a Maisa Avera, just that you put them from Chatos, So how can you hold that Dom Sheni Miskaven is Mutta? You have to hold Misasi Gazana Maisaver. And that's Machlegs Abiyuda Reb Shimon. Do you declare every Dom Sheni Miskaven as a Misasek? That's Reb Shimon holds. Reb Yehuda holds no. Dom Sheni Miskaven, he knows in advance what he's getting himself into. So that's a Safik Lechumer. Even by the Rabbanim, that's the question. Why the Tosfos shows that Rashi is wrong. Why should Rashi be wrong? Rashi should be right. The Reb Yehuda should hold. The Dov Sheni Miskaven should only be also by the Raisa, by the Rabbanu should be Mutta. The worst it could be is a Sveka the Rabbanu, the Kula. So the Chazon Ish tries to give some explanation. Why don't we accept Rashi? Why is Rashi wrong? Rashi explained within Reb Yehuda, you only say Dov Sheni Miskaven is Aser by the Raisa, and the Rabbanu should be Mutta. The worst it could be is a Sveka the Rabbanu, the Kula. But that's a problem. Yeah. So this is the background for the next Gemara. The next Gemara is going to talk about violation of Isuri Hanoah. You only violate an Isa Hanoah if you have Hanoah de Memela, that's not called a violation. You only violate Isuri Hanoah if you do a Maisa Hamahana. So the question is, sometimes it'll be a Dov Sheni Miskaven. Let's say, I want to walk to Shul on Pesach. The shortest way to walk to Shul, shortest way between two points is a straight line. So the straight line passes right by the Goyish Bakery. And the Goyish Bakery, they always bake fresh bread in the morning. And it's, when you walk in the street, it smells delicious. So if you walk in the street specifically in front of the Goyish Bakery in order to smell the pleasant aroma of the freshly baked bread and cake and cookies, that's a violation of Isuri Hana. Chomitz bePesach is asman, even Chemtzu Shal Nachri. The Gemara has a Havamina, the Chemtzu Shal Nachri is Muta Banu on Pesach, but we don't accept that. That's totally not accepted. So if it's outside the Shulchan Aruch, if you walk in front of the bakery because you want to smell the fragrant smell of the freshly baked bread, that's a violation of Isuri Hana. He's not interested in smelling the bread. He wants to get to shul, and the shortest way to get to shul is to walk right in front of the bakery. He's not interested in smelling. So that's what the Gemara calls e'efsher v'loy kol mechaven. He can avoid it. He'll have to walk around and around, but it's e'efsher. The easiest way to go to the shul is to walk this way. The straight line goes right in front of the bakery. So he's not going specifically, and this is the easiest way to get where he wants to. He's not interested in smelling the fragrant odor, the aroma from the bread. So the Gemara says that if you hold Dov Sheni Miskaven is mutter, so this should be mutter. He's doing a pula hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pula. Why is it may or may not? It certainly will result. Isn't it a psikreshe? So we'll have to sharpen the definition a little bit. Okay. So Belin Eder next week. Next week, Sunday, we'll have to start this next Gemara. The Gemara is assuming you only violate Isuri Hanoah if you do a Maisa Hamahana. Just Hanoah de Bemela is Muta. So when is it called a Maisa Hamahana, and when is it not called a Maisa Hamahana? So that's going to be the next